Hallelujah. Thank you. John chapter 3, the outpouring of the Spirit as we close this year's Believers Meeting 2023. I want to share on our last session on the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we said, every man born of Christ has eternal life, right? Don't forget the conversation that led up to this. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, you are a teacher that came from God. You are a teacher. And I said, the minister of the gospel, your primary work is to teach. Miracles are amazing. Amen. It's good to work miracles, to rob the gifts of healing. But the first duty of every minister of the gospel, I'm not talking about a pastor, every minister of the gospel, that includes the pastor, that includes the members, that includes everybody. Your first duty is to teach God's word in a generation where a lot are concerned more about working miracles. Like I said, miracles are amazing. God will work miracles through my hands. These hands, they will heal the sick. They will raise the dead. They will restore life. They will restore hope. So we are not against miracles. But you cannot build the ministry of Jesus on miracles. Are you listening to me? You must build it on proper teaching of God's word. So that the day that there is no miracle, listen, you will not manufacture one. You know that you can manufacture a miracle. Someone who cannot see properly, you know, he's not blind though, just cannot see well. He say, maybe short-sightedness. So he say, you are healed. And then you write it in, what do you call it? Church magazine. Blind eyes open. And the person look at you, and I'm not blind now. But because you have built your ministry on miracles, you begin to lie. Don't build it on anything other than God's word. So Nicodemus, the first appellation he gave to Jesus, you are a teacher. In fact, he called him rabbi, one who instructs, meaning that Jesus instructed more than he healed the sick. Amen. Teacher. In my generation, all of us, the same generation, right? Maybe just a few. I'm just about 16 years old. And this generation can be so testy, which is a good thing. Testy for the supernatural. And I've heard people pray before, and all they are praying for is miracles, miracles. Let miracles just happen. Now you have to be careful. Amen. Israel had all the miracles, yet they didn't enter the promised land. Or what other miracle are you looking for? When someone is eating every day for free for 40 years. I'm going to like that one. Amen. Don't you like it? I mean, you wake up. I know ladies will not like it. Sisters. It's only a lady you ask, what are you going to eat? I don't know. Am I right? You know? Don't say yes, sir. Are you facing it? Will you eat buns? No. Then you go ahead to buy buns. Then she start looking at you. Give me buns. Hallelujah. They were eating free food. 40 years. Guess what again? They didn't have to change their shoe. They did not have to change anything. When I say free food, not me too. It was forced bread, as it were. Then the leader said, we are tired though. Change of diet. Calories too much. Then God brought them fried meat. Listen, the meat came dead. They didn't have to start killing. God saved them time. The quails came dead. As they were flying, dead. Your own is to fry. What a miracle. Then they needed water. But they were somewhere that there was no water. And a man just took his rod. And he did like this to a rock. And pure water factory happened. So this guy saw a miracle. Don't forget, the genesis of their journey was miraculous. People started giving them gifts in Egypt. Take gold, take my gold, take my PS5. That's the jewelry some people are looking for. Take my Toyota. Take my Lexus. They left. But they were going. They met the sea. And suddenly they want to start giving Egyptians back their stuff. Say, you know, I didn't force you to give it to me. Take back your Lexus. Then Moses said, no. The Egyptians you see today, look back, because you won't see them again. And the sea splitted, and they walked on dry ground. The sea acted as bouncer. These guys saw miracles. Yet, Bible says the entire generation was destroyed because of unbelief. Miracles are not enough. So watch how you go for miracles. Watch it. Watch the appetite. That's not where we're going to. I don't even know why I'm dwelling on this one. Watch the appetite for it. Some people masquerade themselves, go from pillar to post, one mountain to the other, because they're just looking for someone that will show, boom. But that's not how it works. So today you are in CAC, tomorrow you are in Glorious House Church, next tomorrow you are in Christ Embassy. I'm not saying for the teaching of the word, though, because you're looking for miracles. For every time Jesus healed the sick, he taught three times more. I have counted it. Three times more. So Nicodemus came and he said, you are a teacher. You are a teacher. So he's first a teacher before a worker of miracles. That's the priority. Like I said, miracles are good. I want to work miracles for Jesus all my life. I want men to witness his saving power. I want them to see the risen Christ. My hands are the hands of Jesus. My words heal the sick. I restore hope. Yeah. But primarily, you must be a teacher of the word. A teacher. So Nicodemus said, you're a teacher from God. But Jesus was not fooled. Amen. He said, you must be born again. Don't be fooled. People may carry titles. This one is funny. There was a time I went to teach somewhere. 2019. So, I was done and all of that. Then one of the people who attended the meeting ran up to me. He was a pastor. And he said, if I go by what you just taught, I am not saved. I said, hey. And he said, you really need to help me and all of that. So he collected my number and all of that, which was fine. But I was asking, I said, how long have you been in church? He said, all my life. And we're talking about a man who is like 50 something. And he said, I just heard the gospel today. I didn't know that we have to be born of the Spirit. I just thought we come to church, we pray. You know, church? Church is different from church, you know? We just come to church, we pray. I said, thank God for meeting, sir. Nicodemus was like that. Jesus said, are you born again? A man must be born again, else he cannot experience God's kingdom. That's the word see there. To experience. To live it every day. Except a man be born again, he cannot know God's kingdom. Then Nicodemus said, will I have to go back to my mother's womb? Jesus said, are you kidding me? Except a man be born of water, which you have explained thoroughly, right? Right? To experience that cleansing power of the Spirit, that purges sin away, that takes away the filthiness and the idolatry in our hearts. And idolatry to these days is not... it's not until you have a graven image. Amen. It's not until you have one calabash under your bed. Some people's idol is their career. And guess what? Jesus does not understand. Anything that affects your career, you say, is untouchable. You should esteem your career. You should work hard. I like to think I'm hardworking myself. You should work hard. But the kingdom of God first. Jesus first. That's the oath. Amen. Jesus first. Hallelujah. Alright, so he said, you must be born of water. I'm talking about the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus lays emphasis on two worlds. There is the flesh and there is the Spirit. I've always said that before and I'll say it again. There is nothing in this world that is neutral. In case you don't know, there is nothing that is neutral. So you ask yourself, is this the flesh or the Spirit? Nicodemus was thinking about the flesh all along. As Jesus was saying, you're the born again, born of water. Baba did not reason that it has anything to do with the Spirit. He didn't reason it. Jesus had to point to him that you have to change your attention from the flesh to the Spirit. Say, my mind is on the Spirit of God. Because things don't just happen. When things happen, you ask yourself, is this the flesh or the spirit? When you make critical decisions in your life, is this the flesh or the spirit? I remember there was a time I got an invite to preach in the UK. One was for South Africa, the other one was UK. And I've shared with some of you before. I was glad. I was happy. Everything was settled. So I told the host, I said, I'll get back, which is normal. Sometimes even when you're sure, you just say, I'll get back. It makes you look like a man of God. Hallelujah. That I'll get back to you. And I meant that I would get back. Because I promised God I'll never do anything for myself in the ministry. It's for Jesus. And so I started praying about it, and I consulted my friend. We prayed together. He also pastors. And as we prayed, it was a clear no, glaring no. Now, was the meeting evil? No. Was God there? Yes. Stop thinking that everywhere God says you should not go, it means that evil will happen. No. That's Nollywood. Nollywood is touching the wires in your head. Some say, you think that when God asks you to get down from a bus, it means the bus wants to have accident. Are you kidding me? You think there are no Christians there too? You think there are no people led of the Spirit there? Amen? You don't use the leading of the Spirit like that. And I thought to myself, what if I had gone? The funny thing is I didn't even share with any of the leaders for a long while. There's no point. God said no. There's no point telling anyone. If I had gone, you would have tweeted, the word of God is growing. Right? Pastor in the UK, flourishing. Seed. But I would have known in my heart, God did not send me there. So you ask yourself, is this the flesh or the spirit? Jesus makes a distinction. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. We are born of the spirit. So our outlook and our service to God must be by the spirit. We are born of the spirit. Our devotion must be by the spirit. You know, in Matthew 16, I'll just show you some few things. The service is a short one. Like I said earlier. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know the story, right? And then, some say you are Jeremiah, some say you are John, some say you are Elijah, some other prophet. He says, who? You, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Just the flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. But my Father who is in heaven, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then shortly after, listen to me, shortly after, Jesus now began to explain, these keys that I won't give you, something has to happen for these keys to reach your hand. He said, I will die. Peter said, stop, Sobe. Jesus, oh my you, please, you will not die. There's no death here. Nothing dies in our hands. Jesus said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, on the face value, did Peter say anything wrong? If you feel he did not say anything wrong, let me see your hands. My hands are up. I mean, if I have a friend who we're in ministry together, I wouldn't want him to say he's dying. I see the look on some of you faces every time I say, for a time I might no longer be here. And then they look at me and say, stop. I see the look. Don't worry, I'm here for long. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are preserved for the glory of God. I see the look. So you can imagine how much more Peter. Number one, they were eating free bread and fish. Let's start with the natural. Free bread and fish every day. And you know that if you need cash, things can happen. Fish, elephant, anything can bring money. I mean, I wouldn't want you to die. Will you want that person to die? Walking ATM. You say, my Lord, my Savior. 2K. Hey, Joseph, my Lord and my Savior. This guy, I owe him money. He's been stopping me. He's not allowing me to go on outreach. You know what I'm saying? Oh, son of man, but 10K. I wouldn't want him to die. But look at Jesus' statement, Matthew 16. Are you with me? In verse 23. So, let's have verse 22. Peter took him. you took your disciple by the hand to a corner. And began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you. You will not die. Then he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense unto me. For you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be what? Eh? Of men. On the face value, you call it empathy. That's empathy. But we must learn to separate empathy from doubt. We must learn to separate empathy from anxiety. You must learn to separate thank you, Jesus. We must then separate empathy from disobedience. You know, in Luke 9, that young man came, he said, I want to follow you, Jesus, but let me go and bury my father. I mean, on the face value, there is nothing wrong. Go bury your father, then come preach. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach. That was it, and he went away sad. Empathy from disobedience. Jesus said, you are an offense to me. The word offense, there is the word trap. You are a trap. On the face value, it looks like a normal conversation. I mean, he doesn't just want me to die. Just, this is a trap. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Two worlds apart. So you are a trap to me because you savour the things that be of men, not the things that be of God. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. It means that there are things that men will applaud you for. They will clap you. They will congratulate you. But God is disappointed. So the applause of man is not always God's validation. People will, they will celebrate you. Ah, oh man of God. Oh, the way I love your teaching. And God is disappointed. We must learn to separate emotions from it. You know, if you ask, is it UNESCO now? What's the full meaning of UNESCO? You know, UNESCO, sha? Amen. Me, I don't know it. I just know UNESCO. I know what they do. Or UNICEF. Some of you are teachers. Sorry, educators. I mean, you say educator, that's not teacher. Now, they say it's fashion design, it's not retailer. Carpenter is no longer a carpenter. Furniture designer, wood maker, DIY. Yes, sir. You are a teacher, you don't know UNESCO. I'll see you after service. But if you ask world organizations like that, if you tell them what is the need of man, they'll tell you things. Primary health care, good governance, whatever, food, right? Shelter, good parenting, local hospitals, is that? Healthcare generally. If you ask God, what is the need of man? Well, like the last one be like, God is not going to mention healthcare. You will not hear healthcare, and you will not hear good education. It just shows you God's need for us is different from human needs. So you must learn to separate it. He says, you are a trap to me. Then he says to him in the next verse, he that will come after me, verse 24, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So we must ask ourselves, my service to God, because one of the things the outpouring of the Spirit does for us, it helps us to serve God. And we're going to get there in a short while. So you must ask yourself, my service to God, is it in the flesh or by the Spirit? The moment as a pastor or a teacher or you teach people God's word and you react, you know, what do people want to hear now? Elections. So I come here and start telling you. There's something about good governance. Me, I don't know anything about good governance. My papa no be politician. I may be able to say one or two things, but in the real scheme of things, when politics gets to its peak, I will keep quiet. Amen. I didn't study political science. I'm not even close to the faculty. Maybe I can eavesdrop some things. I don't know anything. Amen. See, if I come here and tell you about politics, shush me away. I don't know it. What do people want to hear there? You know, that pandemic time, there was a lot of reaction. I'm very sure everybody wants to hear about the pandemic now. So the word of God, we thought about the pandemic months before it happened. Anxiety, free living, let God take care of you. It, quite a lot of things. No, we didn't know anything was going to happen. We just were teaching. And when the pandemic came, I cannot be reacting to a pandemic. We started teaching our psalmist look at the cross. Eh? That was not pandemic. Theology in bad times. Which other one? Challenging Balaam was even after, yeah. So again, you can't walk in the flesh. So you must find out, what are the things that God wants me to do? Am I doing this because it's accepted of men, or is the Spirit of God leading me? So don't forget where we're coming from. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So you ask yourself, is this the flesh or the Spirit of God? I check my motives every time. I like to do it. And you should too. Check your motives. In Philippians 1, because sometimes it appears like we are all doing the same thing. Listen very well, though. But we are doing it for different reasons. Oh, we all love God. We are all we just want to serve God and bless His name and fellowship with the Father and grow spiritually. Ooh, you'll be shocked the reasons why some people are doing it. I've seen someone that joined a church before. Listen, rose through the ranks, committed because he wanted to marry one sister. It's a good sacrifice. Amen. Amen. You don't think it's a good sacrifice. But as you are seeing that brother, you'll be saying, fervent brother. Oga, every time they say welcome 10 people to church, are you not seeing the first person he goes to? From front to back, you are welcome to church. She knows she's in church. After service, sister, was service? Why are you not there? Which one is our service? Why are you not there? How do you see the teaching? You make a blog post. Because his intentions are in his heart. So you look at your motives. Because at the end of the day, listen to me very well. God looks at the heart. Samuel, almost anointed Eliab. God said, you look at the outward. God looks at the heart. So at the end of days, listen very well. God is going to look at your heart. Whether you like it or not. Whether it sounds old school or not. People they've called me old school. That's okay. I don't have an issue with old school. But God looks at the heart. I'm not here to butter your weaknesses. No. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Look at Philippians 1. I asked you to open Philippians 1, right? Suddenly I don't know where Philippians is. Okay. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even out of envy and strife. Some of goodwill. There is one that preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bones. He's saying they are all preaching Christ, but one is out of envy. Let's substitute preaching Christ there. They are serving Christ out of envy. You know what envy is? Envy means I feel you have what belongs to me. I feel what you are now and what you have is meant to be my own. That's envy. He says some serve God out of envy. Envy. He says some out of strife. Fight. Strife. You are fighting someone. And when you serve God like that, it cannot last. That's why you see people burn out. This year you're on fire. Next year we don't know. You say, my new year resolution. I don't know if there was a year like I made a new year resolution. I was not going to take Pepsi. Then it used to be Pepsi. And I was not going to take Pepsi this year. No soda. Then I went to my friend's place on New Year's Day. As we were sharing word. What does that mean? As we were sharing word, he just brought, the mom just said, hear me all around. I said, mommy, move around. Amen. And I saw fried meat. What else goes with fried meat than cold Pepsi? That was a trap to me. So I said, it's just the first day of the year. The year has not started. That normally year starts on the second. Who told me nonsense? But she finished Pepsi in here. So some of you have new resolutions like that. This year, I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray for an hour. But because the motive sometimes is not right. He says he's serving God out of envy. It doesn't last. For example, as a preacher, you are preaching at others. Some churches say that. Kingdom, what concern you with what some churches are saying? As a younger preacher, of course, I fell into that trap. I'm still younger. That's why I say younger. But now, I don't have time for what anybody is teaching. The one God gave me, I've not done one out of 1,000. If you are graced to be at camp meeting 2032, you say I said it. Or believers meeting 2030. So I don't have time. Your preaching is reaction. You are going from Facebook to Facebook, seeing what every minister in the body of Christ. Are you a Rottweiler? Christian Rottweiler. You are sniffing the entire body of Christ to know what to preach. You are not serving God by the Spirit. That's by the flesh. Someone said, someone organized a program. What God cannot do does not exist. You now went to start writing. There are things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. Shut up. Shut up by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, shut up. Do you think when someone has cancer, you think he wants to hear that there are some things God cannot do? Eh? If I have someone that needs healing, I will say, go to that meeting. They say, what God cannot do does not exist. Go there. That's not the time to say, hey, what God cannot do. Actually, in the Greek word for do, magbainieti, the Greek word for exist is the word asqualenion. It's when you need a miracle. You will say to yourself, what God cannot do does not exist. One guy was bashing Michael W. Smith. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to say, he said, no, it is you have opened the eyes of my heart, Lord. Now I can see you. Anyway. Sorry. The Pauline prayers you are praying in Ephesians. That the eyes of that, okay, our eyes are enlightened. We already know what we are just praying to know what we know. Your head is turning. You are sniffing. That is not serving God by the Spirit. That's not how to be a word man. You think word man is about correcting everybody? That's the flesh. Amen. So you check your motive. Don't preach Christ out of envy. Don't do ministry. Don't do ministry. Don't think a position was given to someone in church. You are the one that is meant to be there. Calm down. That's serving God in the flesh. Are you listening to me? Don't let the devil bring evil thoughts to your head. You know, sometimes you expect, this part of this church, I'm the one that should be handling it. Then the pastor comes. Say, sister, so to take over. And then you feel sad, which is normal. Because it's even good, it's goodwill to want to do it. Then you start feeling sad. But don't let that emotion be the drive in your serving God. That is serving God in the flesh. And guess what? It is no service. One of the campus fellowship pastors, when I was in school, I met him sometimes last year. So he was telling me, he knows my disposition towards ministry. And he knows I don't like suits. I don't know if some of you know, I don't like suits. So I'm not even in this kind of heat. So he said, Emoji, the ministry is moving. I said, thank God. Thank God for your ministry and all of that. He's like, which church do you serve now? He said, mission. Then he's like, some people think their ministry is by suit. Now, he's saying it because he knows me. I said, did they steal your own suit? Wear your own now. You know, sometimes, I don't know what is wrong in your head. Wear your own suit. Talo GTA. That's how one mischievous brother messaged me on Facebook. He said, Baba Debo, you brought jet. I don't know what's wrong with this man of God. I first look at the block button, whether it's there. You know, you have to check the block button, whether it's alive. I said, who are you talking to about Baba Deboye? Me. He said, I know your persuasions. My persuasion is no, I don't like jet. Something is poverty. That's poverty persuasion. How can a man have churches in over 120 countries and he says you don't have a jet? You are a wicked person. It's Okada you should be using to fly to Canada. Okada. You don't have brain. Is his jet your problem? Of every disciple you are meant to be teaching God's word right now, is Baba Deboye's jet that is doing you. Foolish virgins were not this foolish. If they were this foolish, they won't even be in the hall. Not to talk of. I don't know. Don't serve God by the flesh. Are you with me this morning? Don't aim to fight anybody. Don't aim to impress anybody. Jesus alone deserves our worship. Jesus alone deserves our worship. Don't use service to God to fight people. So there are people in the church you don't talk to because you feel their own is too much. Calm down. What do you mean by their own is too much? Sometimes, let me say this one. Sometimes when people are doing what you think you should be doing, you are angry. Don't look at them, look at you. I don't know what I'm talking about. Your parents asked you to go and wash plate, then you said no. And you are doing grunting. Then someone just stands up in front of the TV. One of your brothers just say, "Don't worry, mommy, I'll wash it." You know, and mommy saying, "No, don't worry, it's not your own, it's not your," say, "No, I'll wash it. How many plates?" How do you feel? "I don't care, go and wash it." But somewhere in your heart, you start feeling, yeah, his own is too much. His own is not too much. His own that is too small. So you begin to beef the person. What is the English of beef? You begin to despise. You begin to fight the person. But your service must not be in the flesh. Say, "I don't walk in the flesh." I thought you said that louder. "I don't walk in the flesh. My service to God is pure. From a holy heart." So Jesus distinguishes two worlds. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. There is no in between. And at the end of the day, God is going to judge the things you did by the spirit. That's where your reward lies. Don't walk by the flesh. Don't start sniffing the body of Christ. Waymaker, miracle. It's not a waymaker, it's the way. You just want to fight. You just like to fight. It's not a waymaker, it's the way. If you went for the kind of village outreaches I have gone to, you will say it's the waymaker. You say, "Jesus, please make way, Castle." There was one brother that left us there. The next morning we just saw him at the church. I think I've shared it before. They fought us the night before. It was crazy. 2013. It was crazy. People started falling sick. People's bodies started itching. I mean, no serious itching. Nothing touched them. So it was a matter of who's next. Muya stand yada. That's not the time to lose God. Amen. That brother must have been calculating the time. 5:30. That's all. It was on your town. We just saw the brother from afar. We better must go. If you are in that place, you say, "Waymaker, miracle worker, come and help." That's what you say. You not say it's the way. It's the way to Ibadan. I mean, what? Serve God by the Spirit. Let your service be void of offense. Let it be void of strife. Don't allow bitterness in your heart. Take away contention. Look at Zechariah 4:6 as I close. Zechariah chapter 4.
Are you there? "Then he answered and spoke unto me," Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's how to serve. It's not by logic. It's not by intelligence. If God is leading you to start a fellowship, a cell, don't start it in the flesh. Don't try to use music to lure people. That's a failed work already. Say, "I know what the youth wants. But we just give music, you know, a very good auditorium, AC tight, you understand? The kind of seats that if you sit, you want to hear the word, understand? Then you just go Jesus, go Jesus, go." The issue is that your members will find people that will say, when Jesus went. You can't have the best music. So if music is your discipleship tool, you are failed. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by agbari. It's by the Spirit. Tell someone beside you, it's by the Spirit. Serve God by the Spirit. It's not by power. It's not by power. The psalmist says in Psalm 20 verse 5, he said, "Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord." Some trust in money. Don't serve God. You're just saying, there's this saying, if you can't go, let your money go. That's a nonsense saying, you will go, your money will go. Amen. That's what Jesus said. You will go. Go into the world. Then your money will go. That's how we must approach it. We must not serve God in the flesh. Pay for me. Let your eyes be single. your body will be full of light. Don't serve God thinking that something will... You know, let me say this one. There are people who serve God so that they can be made pastors or something like that. I've never understood that one in my life. That's a wrong motive. It can't get anywhere. If that's how you do it, when you become a pastor, the fire will quench. Serve God because it is good to serve the Lord. Serve God because you love Him. And if you don't love Him yet, which you know in your heart, go in the place of prayer and stir up a holy stream. Stir up the holy stream. Don't serve God so that you can get something. Don't serve God so that people can look at you and call you emoji. Say, ah! Ogbono. No. We are not here for that. We are here to fulfill God's mandate in the nations of the earth. To stand in the gap and shout the name of Jesus. To restore hope to the hopeless. Life to the lifeless. To make dry bones come alive. That's why we are here. We are not here for personal gain. We are not here for the glory and the applause of men. No matter how long men clap you, it will cease. They will see someone else to clap for. So if you're running by men's applause, you can't last. Don't serve God for the center stage. For where, you know, all the attention is on you. Like I told you, everyone who God uses, they shy from the center stage. You could have written books if you want to, right? We have materials. There's nothing wrong in it. There are materials. And I'm talking about quality materials. Theology. We can even be sponsoring our messages. But let God do what He wants to do. If it is His work, I'll let Him do what He wants to do. I'm not going to force His hand. Because if it's about Him, then it's not about us. If it's about us, then it's not about Him. You must choose one. And I want to live for Him all my life. I want to serve God from a pure conscience. From a pure conscience. I want my heart to burn for Him willingly. Not because of what I can get. Not because of what men will call me. So he was there in calling you, sir. I can call you, sir. There is nothing in sir. How can you become a pastor so that people can be carrying your bag? That's your ambition in life, to be carrying your bag. I like carrying my own bag. I have hands, too. Glory to God. I'm too young for that. I like carrying my bag. They are force me. They'll be fighting for it. I like my bag. It's my bag. Is it your bag? But you, your ambition in life is that you walk in, they carry your bag. Very useless ambition. If nobody has told you the truth. Some people's ambition is to say, hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands and bless the Father? When you bless the Father, finish. Okay, they will give you the mic. You bless the Father. Will you still bless Him next year? Because you have reached the summit of your expectations. But no. Year after year, it doesn't change. It's still the same Jesus to please. It's still the same Lord. It's still the same Christ, the risen one. And I live to worship Him. It's still the same ambition to worship Him. So it can never get old. It can never grow stale. If the ambition is to preach in front of crowds, the day you do it, what next? That's why you see a lot of people run out of gas. Once limelight shows, once the crowd shows up, you begin to hear different conspiracies. Because that was all the goal, limelight. But we believe for pure conscience this morning. To serve God by the Spirit and not in the flesh. To stay in His will. To walk in His plan. For His plans and purpose to have expressions through us. All life long. That will be proper examples of believers who are standing for Jesus in everywhere they find themselves. Can you pray for yourself this morning? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. I am born of the Spirit, so I walk by the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. am led by the Spirit. I'm not led by money. I'm not led by greed. I'm not led by self-ambition. Fame is not the goal. Jesus is. I uproot every seed of bitterness and envy that may want to have my heart in the service of the gospel. I uproot every offense, every trap in my way. And I declare I'm walking by the Spirit. I'm living by the Spirit. Not by power, not by might. I don't trust in chariots. I don't trust in horses. I trust in the name of the Lord. I trust in the power of the Lord. I trust in the Spirit of the Lord. He's the joy of my salvation. He's the incense of my service. He is my glory and the lifter of my head. The flesh is taken away from me. I walk by the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. 10-20 years from now, I am still serving God fervently. Still burning for His name. His glory still fills my heart. I'll still be that little boy, hungry for the Lord. 40 years from now, I'll still be that little girl, that little boy, doing His will. I'm not full of myself. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. My heart is pure. My heart is clean. Jesus, hold my hands. Hold my hands, Lord. Hold my hands, Lord. For the journey is long. Hold my hands, Lord, for the journey is long. No other throne survives in my heart. No other God beside you. I don't make myself my God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. No other throne. In my secret heart, no other throne survives. No other throne survives. I'll always be that little boy, Jesus. The one that wants to know you more. That wants to pray. That wants to fast. That wants to serve. That little boy in children choir. Ah, that's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm still that little boy. I'm hungry to hear your voice. I'm still that little boy.
Hungry
to do your will.
Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus.
You lead me and I'll follow.
You lead me and I'll follow.
I'm following still.
I'm following
you lead me and I'll follow.
And I'll
follow. I'm following still. Right now, make up your mind not to allow envy, bitterness, contention, strife, pride, Some people are not serving God because of pride. But there is nothing we have that was not given to us. Even your name. I'm not proud. Open your eyes, look at me. There are a few things that God resists. But that one is clear. He resists the proud. In fact, the prophet said he will fight the proud. Don't let pride get into your head. It's a deception. You're not the smartest. You're not the most beautiful. You're not the most worded. How do they call it? Talking to myself, I'm talking to you. Pride must not get in the way. Are you listening to me? Pride stops the flow of the Spirit. Like nothing else. Like nothing else. No, you have people in the local church sometimes. When they are doing something, they are like this. It might not be like this in your with your hand, but your heart is haughty. You have exalted yourself beyond measure. Watch it. Watch it. We must have sane estimate of ourselves. What I call it? A sane estimate. You are in the body of Christ. You are not the body of Christ. You are in the body of Christ. Glorious House Church is not the only church. It's a church in the body of Christ. But we fulfill our own role. Without being naughty. Without being proud. We stay hungry. Till Shiloh comes. Hallelujah.